Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for another fantastic show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money and you're ready for your money, start working hard for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 bazillion years from now, but right now. So you can have that life that you love with those that you love, doing what you love. And it's not just about your own comfort and convenience, because as Ripplers, you guys are here to create a ripple effect through other people's lives, because as you financially prosper, you're able to bless more lives and create that ripple effect throughout. And guys, that is the ripple effect I'm here to create, and I appreciate you guys being a part of this journey with me. As a reminder, check out this website, moneyripples.com, and we've got the great blogs on there, as well as a free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans. You can figure out how to create more resources if you want to figure out where to find that cash. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. You know, the website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy up people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites, fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today, guys, I want to talk about, I'm going to be a little bit in your face. Like, I really feel inspired. I was out for a run and I started thinking about you guys and a lot of my clients and people I've interacted with over the last few weeks. And I thought, this show has got to be titled Get Off Your Assets, right? You know, because the truth is, like, I'm going to be a little bit hard. You're going to be slapped with a hug, okay? So, you know, I'm not a mean guy, obviously, but I'm going to get really, like, in your face serious, because, you know, right now you're probably about, you know, we've already gotten a couple months into 2020, and I've already seen the memes of people saying, wow, January was like the worst year ever, ready for February. And they're probably going to say the same thing about February too, you know, and this happens every year, guys. Like, it does. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's ridiculous how much your life can pass you by, you know? And I gotta tell you, like, I've been there before. I've had years where it was a blur and I think, what the heck happened to that year? What actually occurred during that year? You know, there's almost like these memory blank spots, because it's like Groundhog's Day. It just all blends in together one day at a time, right? And maybe your life is like that too. But I want to bring up three key points here to help you be able to change and shift your life into something radically different and better. But here's the thing, guys. First and foremost, you're not going to like it. All right. It's not, I'm not going to sugarcoat this and say, this is so easy. Anybody can do this. The truth is that, yeah, anybody can do this, but the odds are very few of you will. The cream will rise to the top here. The rest of you will probably fall to the bottom. And depending on how you believe about your, what you believe about yourself, you may have already at this moment put yourself in the bottom saying, well, all right, that's going to be me. Hey, stop that right there and shut up. Okay. Enough. Here's the thing. It's like, you guys all have this potential to create something much bigger and better. But you got to do these three key things to make that happen. First, let's talk about habits. All right. You've got to be doing different habits than you do every day. You've got to change your environment. You got to change the routines you're doing each and every day, even if it's just by one thing at a time. You know, I'll tell you, like, my wife has started to work with some people lately, and my wife is like the Jedi ninja of money mindset and prosperity and things like that. And she started to take on a few little case studies that she's worked with here recently. And it's interesting, just experiencing their situation, especially where I've been helping out on the back end with some of their financial stuff, right? But I'll tell you what's interesting is the very thing that's keeping them from being prosperous is so small. And it reminds me of a time like when I was actually a financial advisor. I remember one of the top guys in our company got up and said, guys, the difference, and when I say guys, by the way, I mean ladies and gentlemen, not just gentlemen, right? He says, everybody, the difference between successful people like the ultra successful people like myself and any of you in this room is so small is that it would absolutely scare you how close and tiny it is. Now, at that time, like as I was looking up to him as a multimillionaire, I thought, man, I've got a long ways to go. This guy's in his 50s. I'm in my 20s. It would be cool if I even hit something like that by my 40s, right? And I'll tell you now, looking back, now I am in my 40s. He's not actually not wrong. He's not wrong at all. In fact, he was absolutely right because the little things that you do and the habits you develop each day determine your outcome. Because everything you do, and I'll tell you, here's some common things that I've seen, small, simple habits that any of you, regardless of your financial position right now, whether you have millions of dollars or you've got millions of debts, you can do all these things. Simple habits like one, get good sleep. Go to early to bed, early to rise makes a man or a woman healthy, wealthy, and wise. This is sounds so cliche and so old school, but I'm telling you, from personal experience and from the experience of watching others, one of the things of people that are struggling right now is that they're not doing even something as simple as this, is going to bed early. And I'm talking about even before, heck, if you can do it by 11 at night, that's pretty good, you know? Especially if you wake up by 6, for example. If you can get at least 7 to 8 hours sleep at night, if you can make that your objective, you'll be so much better off than you are right now, where a lot of people I know, this is their habit. They go to bed late, they're either on the computer, they're watching TV, or they're on their phones or whatever, right? They're distracted, they're up way past midnight, and maybe they're even doing stuff until like 1, 2 a.m., and then the alarm goes off around 5 or 6, they crawl out of bed, miserable, and then what do? They go and they just get their morning cup of coffee, and maybe they even eat breakfast, and then they're out the door going to work, or they're out taking the kids to school, or whatever they're doing. There's no time for themselves. There's no time for them to even have energy. And so if you go and didn't get that sleep, you don't have the energy to do anything for yourself. You're just surviving. You're just crawling through the day, hoping to get to the end of the day once more. And for some of you guys, this is like a very bad version of Groundhog's Day. It's like a nightmarish version because some of you guys are struggling because each and every day you get up, you wake up, some of you might even go into jobs you don't even like. You know, you're doing stuff that you're just burning out. You're burning the candles at both ends. And I've been there, guys. I'm telling you, in my 30s, like when I was in the highest financial stress, like I was doing the same thing. I thought I got to be up and problem solving, figuring this stuff out. I was up late. And then of course, because my brain's going all the time, I'm exhausted. So I was playing like online video games, you know, like the old school stuff, like tanks, tank guys, like the old game where this little, you know, blowing up, you know, other tanks. I mean, I was doing that late at night because then I was like, oh, I'm so tired, but I don't want to go to sleep now. And I wouldn't. And then I wake up early the next morning. I'd go try to work out. I would actually try to do my morning ritual, my power hour, that kind of thing, right? And I'm doing that, but I'm burning out. And that creative space is challenged when you're in that place. Here's another thing too. Water. Are you drinking enough water? I'm not even talking about 8 cups. I'm talking about, are you drinking about half your body weight in ounces? So if you weigh 200 pounds, are you drinking about 100 ounces of water a day? Now, for some of you, you might only be drinking 2-3 cups. If you actually monitor what you're doing, I know there's a lot of you guys are maybe not even drinking more than 3 or 4 cups a day. Guys, everything about your life, about feeling good, if you want to attract amazing things in your life, if you want to change your patterns, your brain has to work differently, and it absolutely needs water. So start drinking that water. 8 cups. If you haven't ever drank 8 cups before, start there. But I'm telling you, for most of you, that's still not enough. You got to drink more. And especially if you're at high elevations like I'm in, holy cow, you need like, you know, I'm drinking 100 ounces a day. Like that's what I need. And I weigh 170 pounds. I'm drinking more than half my body weight in ounces. And that's, I'm telling you guys, is essential. You know, good, like green, fresh vegetables, eating good nutrition, not frozen crap. You know, and I know like you're like, oh, I don't have time for it. No, you do. You don't have time because you're crawling through the day. So start with sleep. Start with water. You can do those two things. If you just do those two things alone, you would start to see changes already. Your mindset and your ability to create abundance and see abundantly will shift just by doing those two things. But again, if you start doing the things with bringing in nutrition and things like that, exercise, moving your body, it could be yoga, it could be stretching. I mean, you do all kinds of things. I don't care if you have a broken leg, do something with your upper body then, you know, let your leg hang out, you know, do something. All these things are essential habits that successful people all do themselves. The question is, do you want to do it? Now I get people are like, oh, it's just too hard. I just can't remember to go to sleep that early, or I need time for myself because I put the kids to bed late. Put the kids to bed earlier. Get them to bed by 8, and they might whine and complain. I don't give a crap. Do that. Get your alone time. Say, you guys, you're in bed, gone, go. And then I got my alone time. And you're like, I have my bedtime coming up, so you guys get to bed too. Do whatever you need to do. And I get it. Like, I still watch TV. Like, I'll watch TV from my phone at night. Now, I won't watch like for 5 hours. I won't do that at all. Sometimes I'm lucky to even get a show done by the end, in one night. You know, I might have to watch over a couple nights to watch one show. But, you know, I love that stuff. Like, that's great. You can recharge and have your me time and all that stuff, but you've got to focus on yourself. Habits are essential. Habits like even listening to this stuff, getting your mind going, you know, like all these things you do, get the good voices in your head and the bad voices out. Stop surfing so much social media, especially if you have a lot of negative on your newsfeed or a lot of scarcity on there. Get away from it. Unplug. Focus on this. Listen to not just my podcast. You can listen to other people's podcasts. I listen to other people's podcasts. I love Joel Osteen. I think he's awesome. You know, like, I'll listen to his stuff, you know. I like Ed Milet. I listen to his stuff too. I mean, focus on trying to get your mind in the right place, your body in the right place, and watch what will start to happen with your mindset. Hey guys, you might think this is hard, but here's the truth. Your life might be hard every single day. Let's admit it. If you're just surviving through life, you feel like your life is missing something, like you're just working and working and working, and you're in this rat race, do something different. Get off your assets. This is an asset. Get off of it. Use it to your advantage. So that's one. Number two, I want to talk about your other assets, the assets you might be sitting on. This could be money. You could be sitting on cash right now that you haven't been using. And I tell you, I just had a call recently with somebody who I've known for years. And as we were talking, and she reached out, she's like, I've been starting to listen to some of your podcast, and, you know, I want to figure out what we can do to get to retirement. And so, you know, I remember she said she had some rental properties and whatnot, and my mind just said, and I have this ability, like, I can see it, sense sometimes what's going on with people's money, you know, behind, even before they say it. I was like, I know that her assets are not being utilized right. And she even said she started a SEP IRA and things like that. They're business owners, you know? And I was like, cool. All right. They've got some foundation. Let's see how it looks. Well, I just did their little call just to understand their situation. And I was like, holy cow. And I told her, I was like, you are the kind of reason why I do this stuff, why I've come out of, why I don't just retire, why I'm trying to create a ripple effect. You are the reason, because you've got assets, and they only need like maybe 7,000-8,000 a month to be out of the rat race. They're like, yeah, if they can make, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 a month, or if we have to pay taxes too, maybe 9,000-10,000 a month, you know, like basically about 100 grand a year is what all they need. Here's the thing, guys, is that they had of assets. I said, you know, looking at the assets you have, including these rental properties that could actually quadruple or quintuple the cash flow just by getting rid of these properties and getting to better performing properties, because their assets were not good, and they're West Coast, so it wasn't great. I was like, you can move those over. You have $500,000 of equity that could easily create at least $4,000 to $5,000 a month with just that $500,000 of equity doing the other real estate with it, better real estate. They're only making like $900 a month, $800-900 a month if they're lucky, versus $4,000 to $5,000 a month, right? Same assets, no extra dollars out of pocket, just leveraging it better. They also had about a couple, you know, almost $250,000 in between their IRAs and Roths and different stuff that they had there too. It was like, you can put that $250,000 to use. We can make at least another $2,000+ a month. This is already getting us to $6,000 or $7,000 a month. Now, we haven't even talked about the equity that's in like their building and their business. I said, hey, that's different. There's even things you can do with refinancing their mortgage for probably another $1,000 a month, just because they're trying to do the traditional saver thing. They're trying to pay down their debts, and eventually someday they'll finally be debt free. The problem is they have no freedom in the journey. And if any hiccup happens along the way, it delays their freedom longer. And now, especially if there's a hiccup, now they're they got a $2,400 a month mortgage that really could be about $1,000 to $1,200 a month. It could be about half the payment from what it is right now. But again, they're caught in that saver mentality. Here's my warning. If you have assets and you have a saver mentality, the same mentality that financial advisors have, Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, all these people are coming from, you will never be free. You can never be free with that kind of mindset, ever. And I know, because financial advisors are like the epitome of it. I know, because I was one of them. I taught the saver mentality and was living it. And you could not become free in that mentality. Financial advisors aren't free, and neither are their clients. So why are you following it too? Why? Because there's no true freedom there. There's no mental freedom. They still feel trapped. Even if they don't show it, even if they show on social media that their life looks awesome, maybe they're doing trips. The truth is, I know a lot of people, they talk to me, they even have a great life on social media, but then they realize, as longer I'm out here, the longer I'm not making money at home. And so they're freaking out. They're like, okay, I got to build up and do all this business so then I can go on vacation, but then I got to come back and ramp it up again and start hustling again to make sure we don't have any hiccups in our finances. That is almost how everyone, even the people that make great money, operate. This is not freedom. And even if you had all the passive income coming in, it does not stop you from going into scarcity. Because when you're in a saver mentality, which is in scarcity, you can never save enough money. You could save as much as you want. You can even hit your numbers, but you still won't feel free. You'll still feel like you have to keep saving that money. So you won't ever enjoy the money. You have to feel like you have to keep saving and saving to build and build and build and build and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And you just keep going forever. And you're just caught in this mental rat race. The financial part says you can retire. It says you're financially independent, but the mental part says you cannot stop. And that's exactly what happens in saver mentality. You have to switch to an abundant steward mentality. And that's what I told them. I said, guys, this won't be, I told her, I said to the wife, I said, listen, this won't be easy. I said, the biggest challenge here is you guys have to be willing to do something that you haven't done, because you hit a brick wall. You got asset rich and cash poor. You have all these assets. In fact, they had like 1.4 million of net worth. I said, you have this 1.4 million net worth only paying you $800 or $900 a month. That's it. That should be paying you over 100 grand a year. And I told them, I said, there's even a possibility you could, if you really wanted to, you could retire this year. But I'm like, I will say this, it'll probably take you guys at least a good 5 years, to do that. Especially if you get to $6,000 or $7,000 a month of extra cash flow. We're just trying to get to $7,000, $8,000, or $9,000 a month of cash flow, right? We only have a few thousand more to go. It doesn't take that much more to get there. It's pretty easy. In fact, they could sell a business and actually get there all this year. If they wanted to sell their business, they could do it. They could sell off a building in their business, they can do it. So in my mind, I see it because I look from a stewardship mentality of, okay, what's the best use of these assets? How can I get these assets to start paying me income every single month? But you guys have been taught from a saver mentality that no, we got to accumulate this money. We got to build and build and build. And eventually we live on less than the interest, not the interest, less than the interest. So you got to build this humongous nest egg to then live on almost poverty, right? Just like I said, the traditional financial advisor will say, especially the ones that are more up to speed, they will say you should not live on more than 2 to 3% of your retirement money every year so you can keep up with inflation over the years and you don't outlive your money. Well, even if you pull off 3%, you have $1 million you've saved up, you live on 3%, that's $30,000 a year, guys. That's poverty level. If you want to be out of poverty, you have to save up pretty much close to about $2 million. If you don't have at least $2 million, you're like, man, even in today's dollars, you basically live in like maybe a $60,000 a year. And if you're saving IRAs and 401ks, you got to get taxed on that $60,000. So you really have less than $60,000 to live on every year. Does that make sense? So guys, you got to get off those assets. Now, for some of you, you're like, I don't have any assets. Yes, you do. There are assets in your mind. There are things you could be doing. You have a body and you have a brain. Figure out how to use them. But again, if you don't go back to those habits from the first point I made, if you can't even get to a place of creativity because your mind is overtaxed, your body's overtaxed because you're not taking good care of it, it won't matter. But you've got things there. Guys, come on. I was a guy that just 10 years ago, I was just starting to try to pull out of a situation where I was over $1 million in debt and I was in the hole every month. I had no money, no credit. I had nothing. I had to start from scratch again. That was just 10 years ago, guys. And I'm telling you, it can be created from your mind. There are talents and gifts you have to offer. But again, you have to be in the best place mentally and physically to be able to start to see that and create that. And on top of it, figure out what you can do to maximize it. Guys, I remember there's old ideas and old things that I figured out that when I heard people saying the problems, and again, you have to be in the space where you're listening to what people are asking for. Listen for what the problems people have. Listen to what they're asking for and realize, hey, I might have an answer for that based on my past experience, based on knowledge or talents or expertise that I have. I can offer a solution and then offer it. You don't need money to do that, guys. You can do that purely just by saying, I have the solution. Do you want it? Exchange money in exchange for this answer or this solution or for me to help you solve this problem or help serve you or whatever it might be. Add value in some way in your life that I get paid. I know it takes some mental energy to do that, but it's not as hard as you think. Hey, if I had neighbor kids that said, hey, I'm going to go around and ask people if I can pull out their trash cans for them from their house to their curb and only charge them like a few dollars a month, you can figure this out too. They had a legitimate business. They were making more money than some adults I know that were whining, saying, I can't figure out how to make money. And there's not enough jobs out there, especially during the recession. This was during the recession. These guys were doing it. They were pulling out the curb. They're making like $50 a month, only charging $2 a month. Eventually they didn't sell off their business, but they gave it to another neighbor who said, why are we doing $2 a month? It's annoying to have to take cash. $5 a month, make it easier. And they all got a huge raise doing the same thing. And nobody balked an eye at $5 versus $2 a month to essentially pull out the trash can 20 feet. That's all it was. It's pull out the curbs to remind us, oh yeah, trash day today. They did it. You know, it was that simple. Guys, you can create so much more, but you got to get off these assets. You got to get out of that saver mentality thinking you just got to sit around and let things do anything. And my final point, my third and final point is ultimately the crux of it, is fear. What is fear doing for you? So I got to tell you, I mean, so many of you, you do awesome, right? You really are trying to do things to overcome your fear. But every once in a while, I run into some of you guys that you have the desire to do something different, but you're so scared to change. You're so scared that maybe you'll mess up. Here's the thing, guys. Like, I remember as a kid, I learned to ride a bike. I was a slow learner. I was 6 years old when I got my first bike. I had training wheels on it because when I got on my bike for the first time, my dad's taking me out. It was at night, you know, just down the little streets going down a road, and he's helped guiding me along. And I felt comfortable because at least he's holding my seat, but I'm really nervous, white knuckling my handlebars. And then once he says, "You're doing it," all of a sudden I panic because I realized my support system wasn't there and I crashed. And I scraped up my elbow and I was bleeding and crying and they had to patch me up and everything else. And I was like, I won't ever do that again. I cannot do that. That hurt so bad. And so what happened? My dad put on training wheels and about 9 months, I had these training wheels on as my little protection. And I would ride everywhere with training wheels. Eventually, I remember I was riding with a friend, you know, as we're riding along and just having a fun time. And all of a sudden he says, "Hey, your training wheel fell off." And I was like, "What?" And I crashed. Now remember, I did not crash until he told me it fell off. I was actually riding without that training wheel. But when I lost that confidence, that peace of mind, I crashed. Eventually, I learned to ride on one wheel because I used that other wheel as that safety. I would go, ch-ch-ch. So I'd always kind of feel it, make sure it was there. Eventually, by my 7th birthday, 1 year later after I got my bike, I finally had the second training wheel taken off because I realized, you know what? I'm not really needing that training wheel. I'm doing just fine. And I did. And I was riding just fine from that point on. But I'll tell you that fear actually attracted the thing I didn't want. Every time I was scared thinking, what if I fall? I would fall, right? If you're worried about going into, like, sometimes you guys will tell me, oh, I'm so worried to do different investing because it's not the same as everybody else. Like, everybody's doing these 401ks and you're telling me to try something different. Like, maybe I'm doing real estate investing or maybe invest in oil or whatever it might be. And you're kind of panicking, regardless of the facts that, hey, you're in a stock market where you're gambling right now. You know, and think of this. I mean, my dad was in the same position. I remember that you know, my dad was in his late 50s when Y2K hit. Now in 1999, he was feeling pretty good. He's like, man, if this keeps up, this market had gone up for 6 years straight, you know, all the way through 99, market had gone up. It's like, if this keeps up, I'll be able to retire in the 2000s. I could be in my early 60s and be able to retire. Understand, my dad did everything. He was the saver mentality to a T, scarcity saver mentality. Paid off his house. It was all paid off. He was debt free, quote unquote, right? He had also saved, and his 401k was putting away so much money. He was the one that taught me, put away everything you can, save everything. He was also the one that told me, hey, when you turn 18, you're out. You get out of this house. You're on your own. You have to pay for your own college. I'm not paying for it because I don't have money for it. He always felt like he could never afford anything, right? He always told me he's not made of money. You know, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. If you've ever heard that, he was kind of that depression mentality. Well, yeah, and that's what it was. Now, some of you guys are actually like, man, like, I want to be able to save for my kids' college. He was like, I'm not saving for it. He's got to figure it out on his own. He's got to save his own money. So he was telling me to pack away as much money as possible as a teenager working part-time jobs, you know. He was doing everything he should have been doing. He was doing everything right according to financial experts and advisors and everything. Here's the thing. Right in 1999, he was getting jealous that his coworkers were getting better returns than him because they had a lot of their money in tech stocks, these tech stocks. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to move my money over. So in early 2000, he moves his money over to tech stocks right before they crashed. He went from thinking maybe I could retire in early 2000s to waiting 15 more years. So just a few years ago where he said, okay, now I'm in my 70s. I think I can retire. Probably also gambling and betting that he might be dead sooner than later. So he thought I might be able to let my money last. But he had to wait 15 years for that market to start to recover from where it was 15 years prior. Some of you guys have already experienced this, but it's amazing how many of us forget that we've just been through since 2009, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14 were all up years. 2015, you were supposed to be a down year. I predicted Y2K 15, totally off on that one. The market went flat that year. By the last day, it was down like negative 0.1%. That was it, just down 0.1%. And then it took off from that point on, 16, 17, 18, 19, 4 years in a row, it's up again. We had six up years, a flat year, four up years. Understand that this does not happen in the stock market, right? This is a very rare occurrence. In fact, it just doesn't happen where you see this much uptrend for so long. And some of you guys are like, oh, but what if it goes up? I don't know if I want to get out or not. Well, what if I do this? What if it's riskier to go into real estate? Understand, you're already taking way more risk with your money than almost anybody. You're taking unnecessary risks. It's way more gambling, in my opinion, and from seeing both sides, from me being on the mainstream side and then going away from the mainstream as the anti-financial advisor, I will tell you it is way riskier doing what many of you are doing. But because it's comfortable, you think it's not risky. Just because everybody's doing it and because it feels comfortable or familiar does not mean that you're doing the right thing. In fact, the very comfortable, familiar thing is what people are doing with their health right now. And now people are actually not living longer. They're just surviving longer, you know, in crappy health. They're not having a life. And this is what's happening financially. People are getting to the point where they're saying, hey, I think we're good. This euphoric condition of, hey, the market's always been up. There's people in their 20s and 30s thinking that that's all the stock market does. They only heard rumors about what happens, but they don't know the reality. The truth is, guys, that there's way better solutions than what's happening. But out of fear, because you're like, well, yeah, but what if this doesn't work? What if this doesn't work? First off, your fear will probably attract the very thing you don't want. It's okay to feel fear, but understand you can do things to minimize your risk. When I do real estate investing, I think it's one of the least risky things I could possibly do right now. I think the market is way more gambling. I think people are way more dumb to keep their money in the market where they're gambling. They have zero control over the outcome. At least in my real estate, even if I have somebody managing it, I've got control over the outcome. Not every single outcome, but for the outcomes I don't have control over, I've got contingencies in place to ensure that I reduce my risk so that there's always a way out. There's always a way to ensure that I can keep money going. I focus on cash flow, for example. I'm not focusing on appreciation and things like that. I'm looking just that. So a lot of times I'm creating game plans for people when I'm consulting with people, you know, like I do part-time. Like I'll be like, hey, let's look at this, do this and this. And they're like, oh, but what if it's risky? I'm like, it's only risky if you don't realize that you can actually reduce your risk. You know, educate yourself, learn a little bit, and then let it pay you. You know, it's so amazingly simple. In fact, the strategy is so much simpler than your mindset. Your mind will trip you up more than anything, than the money will or anything else. In fact, your mind is usually the thing that's what throws you off. And so many of you, I see that your mindset, you know, that saver mindset, for example, or that fear that you're living in, you've been so accustomed to living in fear, you don't know what to do without it. You actually almost bring that fear into everything else, don't you? You're like, man, well, I haven't had fear before. This seems too good to be true. There has to be a catch because this seems awesome. Yeah, life can be awesome. Life doesn't have to be difficult or hard, despite what you've been taught or trained your entire life. Now, you will have challenges regardless, but it does not have to be a pain. It does not have to be so hard. And trust me, this comes from a guy who believed life had to be a struggle. I'm that guy. I believed it for so long, and I created unnecessary struggle because I was accustomed to struggle. You do not have to struggle. So anyways, guys, I know this is extra time, but I cannot emphasize this enough, and I probably cannot do a podcast long enough to help portray what I want. But again, if you focus on these three things, your habits, the little things you're doing to help to feed your body and your mind, you've got to do that first. Second, get out of that saver mentality and focus more on getting your assets to work for you, not you working for assets. And then three is get out of that scarcity and fear mode. Find ways to actually have faith, not fear. And the ways you can do that is by having the right education, the right training, and knowing what to do. And you'll realize that you don't have to live a life of fear. You can live a life of freedom. And if you think your life, if you think that might be fearful, just remember, you're living every day the life you've been doing now. Do you want your life to keep looking the same it's been every single day that you've had? Do you want this to continue? If you want to change, then change it. If I can be a part of that journey, great. Email me, chris@moneyripples.com, and we can see what we can do. But I'm telling you, you have more hope. You have more possibility of prosperity. And that's not just something that affects you. You're affecting your family and generations beyond you and the people around you. You can be a force for good. And that is the ripple effect I'm trying to create. Guys, I'm not here to just waste my time and my breath so you guys can live a mediocre, crappy life. And that's even a mediocre life where you're making at least a few hundred or $500,000 a year. I don't care. You might still be trapped in this quiet desperation of wondering if you're going to be like this forever, if you're always going to have to keep working. I'm here to tell you there's another way, another life, a path of freedom, but it's going to require you to do harder things. You know, this might be the part that's hard, is it require you to do new things. And that is what's going to be hard, is by changing how you've done it, because you cannot expect to keep doing the same things and get different results. It only happens through change. I invite you guys to do that. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week and life of freedom as well. See you later, guys.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.